This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, Jake Heaps, victim of Seattle traffic, will be here in just a minute or two. He's probably in his car right now swearing at me. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying. He'll be here in just a couple of minutes. Danny O'Neill is here and has been all morning. Good morning, Danny. It's
good morning.
Nice having you here. Good morning to everybody out there. Is it feeling like a better morning each of the days we get removed from Monday night's travesty? Because it was one of those games, man. It really was. Like I told you earlier, I really felt heading into this season, like, yeah, I'm a little open-minded. Going to give this team a lot of grace, a lot of leeway. I don't have the same sense of urgency for them in every single game the way I have the last few years. And I didn't even predict that they were, I didn't pick them to win on Monday night. And yet the way it all went down was like, they just rubbed you the wrong way.
I feel very differently. I feel like I'm more stressed out about these games early in the year because I know how important they're going to be down the stretch. And I think that this is a team where depending on how things break, they might get into the playoffs and they might not. Whereas I was not as stressed out in 2015 about the direction of their season, even when they started 0-2, because I knew they were a talented team. I knew that they and believed that they were going to get it together. And even though they lost their first two games, they were on the road. I feel one of these games is going to come back and bite them. That I believe that one of these two games, you're going to end up at the end of the year really feeling. I've been more stressed out, even though I think the expectations are lessened.
Well, let me remind everybody, we talked to Pete Carroll the morning after every game. That included yesterday. And so afterwards, we put up the conversation. Video of that conversation goes up at 710sports.com/win. If you watch it, you can win two tickets to a Seahawks home game. It's a pretty good deal. You become eligible to win by watching that video. Then you can gain more entries by doing things like visiting Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages of ours, or downloading the 710 ESPN Seattle app. A lot of different ways you can improve your chances. But what you got to do is listen, in this case on Thursday, tomorrow at 8:15 in the morning, when we will pick a random name out of all the people who entered and announce them as the winner. That person will have 5 minutes to call in and redeem their prize. So again, 710sports.com/win. Watch the video, do a few other things, and increase your chances to win a pair of tickets to go see the Hawks. All right. Where do they go from here? That's sort of the big picture question. But before you can get there, you've got to figure out what's gone wrong. And a lot of that has been centered on the quarterback position. We'll talk to Jake about this in a couple minutes when he gets here. But we've spent much of the day with you guys trying to figure out where we're at with Russell Wilson and what has gone wrong here through the first couple games of this season. And, you know, Danny, there's a group out there, and I saw a tweet to me recently that I think, you know, is a very loud minority that just basically says, so many stupid Seahawks fans calling the show, always somebody else's fault. It's never Wilson's fault. It is 75% his fault. Rodgers would light it up here, and so would Brady. Well, Rodgers and Brady are both better than Russell Wilson. I think everyone has sort of agreed on that. What would have happened if you'd switched Russell Wilson and Mitch Trubisky in that game?
You have the exact same result. Like I, in fact, it's probably worse for Seattle. If you had Trubisky instead of Russell, I think you're going to have more picks.
And if Russell has that Chicago team?
Yeah, I think that they end up winning by 25, 30 points. If you give him that defense that he's playing with now, yeah, I think if you switch their points.
Yeah.
What if you switch Brian Schottenheimer and Matt Nagy?
Now, that's an interesting... Nagy, and he's got Helfrich there as his offensive coordinator. Here's the interesting part for that.
Seahawks by 40.
No, I don't think that's true.
All right, maybe
Seattle went the exact opposite direction from that. Nagy and Helfrich are people that are trying to incorporate elements of college spacing, of unique formations. We didn't see it this game, but there was their season opener, they had a tackle that was lined up outside,
yep,
doing things like that.
They're young, outside the box, and creative.
And you went with, he's not old. Brian Schottenheimer's not
old school,
but he is completely old school in the way he does things and what they've done. They went the exact opposite direction when it comes to that. And some of that's because I think that's what Pete wants. Some of that is because that's what his preference, that's what he wants his offense to run the ball, and he doesn't want all of the it doesn't want smoke and mirrors with it. He wants a power run game.
Got a weird question about that though. If that's what he wants, why don't they, you know, do it?
It's a great question. 'Cause like, you know what?
Here's the problem I have, and this is why my answer in this poll question I had out there, what's wrong with Russ, has mostly to do with the scheme, but not entirely. I think there's other things. I mean, nothing is all one thing, but if I had to put most of the blame somewhere, it would go to scheme/play calling. Number two would be some of the talent out there at wide receiver and the lack of separation they've gotten, the problems with the O-line. I think Russell's confidence is a question mark as well. But if you want to throw the ball, then bring in an offensive coordinator like a Nagy or Helfrich, or somebody who's new and involved and invested in a throwing game that is interesting and would fit Russell Wilson. If you want to run the ball, then, oh, I don't know, run it!
I agree with you.
What, this is really not brain surgery here. I feel like this is like the simplest conversation we could have.
I agree with you, and here's what I'll say about that. That the way they spent their resources, the coaches they brought in, the fact that they used a first-round pick on a running back, which I don't think they should have, if you're going to do all that, you got to run the ball.
Run it.
You have to run the ball.
Run the ball. That means on third and inches in week one, you run it. That means when you first start off your first drive of the first game, you run it. You don't throw it twice and then take a draw from third and 16. It means when you have third and two and you've been running fairly successfully in the beginning of the game on Monday night, you run it, or at the very least threaten with play action. I don't care if you don't want to run the ball. That's fine. Passing teams are very effective in the NFL, and I can get behind what the Saints or the Patriots or the Packers or any other number of teams do. But then set up your team that way. Don't set up your team with all of its personnel and all of its identity surrounded in running the ball and then not do it. It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre.
Big picture, you're right. I disagree with the point that they look to be successful running the ball. But big picture, they've built this team to run the ball, and in that way, they need to run the ball more than they have.
Rant over. Danny, it's awesome. We've been having a lot of fun talking about this today. I really enjoyed arguing and discussing with Danny, as we often do when he's here. But we're going to bring Jake Heaps into the conversation as well. Hi, Jake. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Just a little bit of traffic coming in.
Well, you know, it's Seattle.
It's ridiculous.
That's probably on us for asking you to get here at 9 o'clock.
Did you pound on anything, Jake? I don't know what kind of personality you are. Are you? Because I'm impatient.
Jake's calm.
I will take a closed, like a hammer fist to the steering wheel as my patented move when I'm really frustrated.
Yeah. No, I like to keep my cool, but yeah, a lot of bad thoughts going through my head.
Jake,
sitting in traffic.
What were the thoughts going through your head watching the film of this thing? Why did Russell Wilson take 6 sacks?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game, and the hard thing is that when you watch it on the TV copy, and you just can't see everything. That's the reality of it. You can't see everything, and so it's really easy to say, come up with your own conclusions. He's holding on to the ball. The line's not giving him time. You just don't know. There's no separation. So to be able to look at the All-22, to be able to look at the coach's film, and to be able to really kind of dissect what's actually happening, I think is important. And going into that, I was really looking at it and kind of looking at it from the view of, okay, what can Russ do better? And that's where I really was evaluating this tape, because I wanted to go in there and say, yep, he didn't do that, he didn't do that, he needed to throw the ball here. I didn't see that. The pocket, you're asking him to step into a pocket that is suffocating. It's not just a pocket where there's, you know, a few lanes here or there. It is collapsing around him. And Salk, the thing is that with Russell, when he is special, it's not just having a clean pocket. You could say that about every quarterback in the NFL, any quarterback in the history of football at any level. But when you don't give him lanes or the opportunity to create, stepping up and running, escaping and getting out of the pocket, there's nowhere for him to go. There's nowhere. And now you're looking at it going, okay, as the pocket's collapsing, where are the receivers? And the receivers weren't open. So when you talk about trying to throw it with blind trust and anticipation and all those things, I'm all for that. I think that that's something that we can all get better at as quarterbacks, and he can continue to progress and those things. But I don't think Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers are making those kinds of throws. Not with the separation, not with the timing of the pocket collapsing around him. It's just the reality of the situation. So when I look back at it, okay, maybe one of the six sacks, one of the six sacks, you can say, hey, Russ, you need to get rid of the ball in that situation. And that was at the very end of the game, comes out of the pocket, looking downfield, and he gets strip sacked. That was it.
When you look at it, and Jake, I think that the point you made about the All-22 is important, because until you see that, you're just guessing on what you think happened.
Right.
some of that's got to be on the coaches. If the pocket is collapsing around him, and I think you did see that, and they referred to it on the TV copy as storming the castle,
mm-hmm.
when you're kind of compressing from all angles, which is what it looked like happened at times.
Yeah.
They've got to find ways to give him options.
Absolutely they do. Danny, the thing is that here's the frustration I have, is I think that you're seeing Russell make a concerted effort to stay in the pocket. I think it's also been forced on him to say, you need to stay in the pocket and play within the scheme of what we want, right? But that's not Russell. It's not that he can't play from the pocket, but what makes Russell special is when he starts feeling and getting in the moment of the game. And when you saw that, I tweeted out about it, was when they finally went up-tempo around 12 minutes in the game in the fourth quarter, right? And all of a sudden, he comes alive. You could just see it in his demeanor, the way he's going about it, the urgency that he has. All those things, he has the ability to create, and there's a sense of urgency, and he's feeling the game. And now he's starting to play at a much higher level, and he's making everybody else better.
Where do you think his frustration's coming from leading up to that?
I think that, I don't know, I wouldn't say necessarily his frustration. I just think in general, when you look at it, you're not getting him involved in the game as of the past. I was listening to the show, and it's, you guys were talking about Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, right? During the course of their career, they have been able to run the same stuff, right? They major in, every quarterback has certain concepts that they love, that they major in, that they've got PhD degrees in, okay? And then they also have their systems. Tom Brady's played in the same freaking system his entire career. Different coordinators, but the same terminology, same everything.
So what is Russ's thing? What is it that Russ should have or would have a PhD in? What's the concept that Russell truly is great at executing?
Well, I think there's a great couple passing concepts that he's great in, but I think the other part is how to get him into the game. You know, calling those read option plays, you know, he doesn't necessarily keep it, but he's seeing it, right? And there's a threat. The boot play action, naked game, they went to that in the first drive. It was great. They hit a completion to Will Dissly. It was like 8 yards. It was awesome, right? Getting opportunities like that for him to get out on the edge, for him to be able to create. And then over the course of the game, you know, it's more on the offensive line in this situation, but the pocket collapsing around him. He's got nowhere to create and be special and do those crazy things that we've seen him do. But then once the game got on, you saw him stepping up into the pocket, making throws on the run, to Nick Vinette, to Tyler Lockett. I mean, that's where Russell Wilson is special and does things that no one else can do. And the other part of it is, you know, let him be him. Let him be him. What's wrong with that? He was pretty dang good at it. And I think another point to go back at is,
so do you think that's being suffocated a little bit? Because that's part of the conversation Danny and I had earlier is, you know, is there just a, you know, after a year spent or an offseason spent holding Russell accountable and this and that, Brian Schottenheimer coming in with a, you know, I don't know where what his ego's like. I just don't know. Has there been some suffocation of who Russell is?
I just think it's kind of gotten lost to me. I think there's been such an emphasis in all these different places and all that, that at the end of the day, you got to let your best player, you got to make your difference maker, help him be himself, right? And help him get into the game, because when he does, now you're playing at a high level. Everybody's playing at a high level. And, you know, and so there's a philosophy that you have to decide. And to me, when you watch the game and you watch the two games, is I think everybody can agree on, is can anybody put their finger on what the identity of this offense is? I don't think so. There's no identity in terms of, are we a running team? Are we a passing team? Where are we hanging our hat on? And people can say, well, we're hanging our hat on Russell. Well, that wasn't the plan going into this season. And that still isn't the plan that's being talked about. It's run, 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 run. And you don't have, and when you have opportunities to run the football, you're not doing it. So it doesn't make sense. And to me, in the past, in those 6 years, they have been really good at running up-tempo, no huddle, all those things. I'm not saying you abandon it and you just go to the no huddle, but people are like, well, why doesn't he do this earlier? Well, that's not his fault. They're not letting him do it until that point in the game. So if you want him to do stuff like that, then let's mix it into the game plan. You know, so I just kind of have some frustrations with where is the identity of this offense? What do they really want to accomplish? And let's do it. Let's attack it and let's go for it.
Hey, you mentioned, Jake, you mentioned the fourth quarter and the final 12 minutes. I'd throw the final drive of the second quarter in there too, where
times
when they actually moved it, there's part of me that's wondered, certainly tempo plays a role in the quarterback's control at the line of scrimmage. Does Russell also change his risk aversion? Is he willing to take more chances in those situations, thinking, hey, there's nothing to lose here, and he's willing to cut it loose more and maybe try to throw into tighter windows or take chances that maybe now that you're in a different point and more is depending on him, he can be a little bit more of a gunslinger. And I know that's contrary to what Pete Carroll has said, and hey, avoid turnovers at all costs. But look, this team isn't what it was in 2013, 2014 when it had one of the NFL's best defenses. Maybe you can have a little more margin for error if Russell starts making
more
plays.
Are you asking essentially, does Russell Wilson or should Russell Wilson make the throw he made for the Tyler Lockett touchdown earlier in the game?
Yes. Because cut it loose and try.
My feeling is he won't make that throw early in the game, and he made it late in the game, and it ended up going for a touchdown.
Well, here's a really cool thing. The reality of that particular play is, you know, it's a run play, and it's a full-on run play. They go cover zero, and Russ actually checks it off and just talks to Tyler. And it's actually pretty cool. I think that to answer your question, it's a fine line that you play because everything is about taking care of the ball. And I think Russell has done a phenomenal job in his career taking care of the football. And when you're able to take care of the football throughout the course of a game, even though you're not playing well, you still have chances at the end, right? And so I don't think you're going to see him all of a sudden just become this gunslinger, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brett Favre type of guy. But when he gets in those modes, I think he gets more comfortable. And now you see him being able to feel more comfortable and let certain throws go. There was a particular throw on the last drive. He throws a ball to Jaron Brown. I mean, it was special. It was right over a linebacker, only where Jaron Brown could get it. So to me, it's just kind of, can we open the game plan up a little bit more, get him going early? And hey, if we want to run the football, great, let's stick to it. I thought the opening drive was phenomenal. It was awesome. The game plan looked great. And then we abandoned it after that. And I don't understand it.
Talking to Jake Heaps here on Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Danny O'Neill also in for Brock today. So let me come back to maybe this original question, because this is what I was wondering during the game. I understand that now you've watched the All-22, you see the entire field. What is the level of separation? Does this Seahawks group have enough weaponry, and is that group getting open to give Russell places to throw the ball to?
The answer is not often. Not often. And when they do get separation, it is not a lot. So I think you're dealing with something that's a little different. I think he for example, Brandon Marshall, right? Brandon Marshall is a guy that's a big-bodied receiver who is not going to get a ton of separation for you. And you've got to trust that he can go throw, he can make those plays. And he did that, a back shoulder throw at one point down the sideline, and he threw a 10-yard stop route that was really, really tight coverage, and he made a really good throw. So you're going to have to kind of get used to throwing those types of throws and get comfortable with that because that's what you're up against at this point. And I think they're also missing Doug.
I'm sure they are. I mean, obviously that's a part of it. Let me ask you both the question. If guys aren't getting open and there's not a lot of separation, is that a personnel issue primarily, or is it primarily a scheme and play call issue?
I think you point to the personnel and you point to decisions that were made about Paul Richardson not being resigned and about Jimmy Graham. You haven't put resources. You can complain about Jaron Brown and how good he is as a player, but you're not paying him to be a great player. You're not paying Brandon Marshall to be a number one receiver. Your resource allocation has shifted.
Oh, and unfortunately, you're paying Cliff Avril and Cam Chancellor not to play,
which is part of the sort of the tax that comes due at this point.
Right.
And look, they have not put. When they did put money and resources into the receiving game, we all talked about how they lost their identity about what they wanted to do. They need to, given the way they've spent money and spent draft picks, they need to run the ball. They need to have that be an effective component of their offense.
Yeah, I think that you can go back and forth on both sides. I think you make a great point, Danny. I think ultimately what it comes down to is having the right personnel, knowing what your personnel is, and being able to scheme for that personnel. That's what it comes down to. When you watch the Bears, right, they have a couple nice pieces on their offense, but there was so much just variable formations and different ways to get guys the ball, and it was very creative, and so you know you're watching the other side and you're going, man, this is awesome, this is really cool stuff that you're seeing. And I think you need to do some of that stuff to be able to get your playmakers the ball. And I think ultimately what they did in Denver to get Will Dissly the ball, they did some unique different things to get him the ball. And so I think here's the thing. I think ultimately, as a fan base and as an organization, you've got to understand that there is way more moving parts here than everybody anticipated and realized. And I told you, Saul, that my thoughts going into this season was that this was going to be a rough year, both offensively and defensively, for different reasons. And the preseason came along, and it was like, oh, okay, this is kind of coming together pretty nicely here. And it got everybody excited. The offensive line's looking good. The schemes are looking good. You know, we're doing pretty solid here. And I think ultimately it kind of shifted everything, and now raised the expectations, and now we're back to reality again. And I think you have to give this time. You have to look at this, and in my opinion, after four games, and see where we're at.
All right, so let's see if we can sum this up after about 20 minutes there of talking with Jake about where and what happened on Monday night. One, the sacks were maybe quite a bit on the lack of separation from receivers and some of the problems the offensive line had in creating a pocket or even allowing some escape lanes for Russell Wilson. I mean, that's sort of the biggest takeaway I have. And two, you got to determine what your identity is going to be as an offense and then allow Russell to be Russell inside of it. And that's essentially what I'm hearing there from you, Jake. I also hear a conversation about expectations, which leads me to another Jake and Jake Browning.
Yeah.
Living up to expectations. Where are we at after another week with Jake Browning? We'll ask Jake Heaps and Danny O'Neill more about that.
This will be good.
Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
All right, so let's do this. Jake Heaps is in. Danny O'Neill is in for the rest of this hour. We're going to have too many people here. Matt Johnson's coming in 15 minutes, our Answer the Question Jerk insider. So always good to have Matt here. I got a tweet from Brian at Original Slick who says, please make this a regular segment. Jake is great radio. Well, I think we could tell people now what we're doing. So Jake is going to be in a lot more this year. We've worked something out where Jake is going to be doing a lot of work for 710sports.com. And so every week, Jake's going to be doing a couple of posts there, a couple of videos going through what's new with the Seahawks and Huskies in terms of some video breakdown.
Yeah, so I'm excited about this because I think everybody's dying to know certain things. And this is where I want your guys' involvement as the listeners, as the people that are reading this. I want you guys to put in your input in terms of what you guys want to see from the week. What are your questions? And what I will try and do my best is to kind of break this thing down and show particular plays, show particular issues, and break it down and show you guys both on the Seahawks side of things, offense and defensively, could be either or, and the Huskies. And so I'm really fired up to do this stuff with you guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're pretty psyched. 710sports.com will be the place to see it every week. Jake, of course, is on Twitter if you want to get in touch with him and give him some ideas at JTHeaps9. You can always find Jake there, and he'll be filling in for Brock quite a bit this year as Brock goes on his college football journeys. You'll hear him elsewhere on the station, so we're really excited about the partnership with Jake, who'll be a contributor here for 710sports.com. Danny, I asked you before the show, do you think Jake Browning is going to be the quarterback for another week? Do you think he should be, or were you willing to maybe consider Jacob Haener yet? Where are you at?
I hope that Jake Browning is the starter throughout this season. I think Jake Browning should be the starter going into this game. I think that we're two plays away from that Utah game having started a major discussion about whether or not there should have been a quarterback change because he had a ball that was intercepted. and a throw that he'd been living dangerously with. He had been making those things and having those moments be real question marks that would come up that got changed because of a penalty.
Yeah.
If there's not a roughing the passer penalty in which the defensive tackle, Fotu, ends up getting ejected, we have a whole different conversation about how that game went.
The guy pulled a John Ryan on that interception return.
Well, no, that was a different one.
Oh, no, the later one.
That was a subsequent
And that's another,
pick.
Like, you know.
But at that point, they were up 14. They were 14-7. The interception would have been going the other way, and instead right. they get a touchdown out right. of it to Ty Jones. If that interception had stood, I think that was a very, very different. We're having a much different conversation. I hope Jake Browning continues. I hope he starts to play better because their offense has been difficult to watch so far this season.
Yeah, here's the thing. It has to happen. Jake has to be the guy going forward in this deal. And I know people are pointing at Hayner and look sweet and against North Dakota and all that stuff. But we're talking about a redshirt freshman who plays a very similar style of game of Jake. It is not an upgrade, and you're losing all of that experience. You're losing that leadership. Jake, again, Miles Gaskins after the game has said this multiple times. Jake is the unquestioned leader of this team. He's the guy that everybody rallies around. Now, here's the deal. With Jake, he plays the game very well until these moments where you're just, I can't even describe what's going on. I can't even break this down for you guys in terms of his decision-making in certain situations. And that's what he has to eliminate. In each game up to this point, he's had 2 to 3 plays that's just been like, what are we doing, right? You're grabbing your head. You might be throwing something at the TV. I don't know what the reaction is, but
are those acceptable in the college game?
I don't think so. I don't think it's acceptable, and it has the potential to be game-altering plays, but that's the problem. I'm conflicted because I think Jake Browning is a great quarterback, and I think he does some really great things in the way he functions. He has the ability to take this offense to the place that it can go, but he has to eliminate the big mistakes.
Were you guys bothered at all by these comments after the game? Have you heard these when he was asked about the running game? We played a little of it on Monday morning. Danny O'Neill and Jake Heaps in with me here. This was Jake on Monday morning when asked, or I guess it was on Saturday, when asked about the running game against Utah.
I think you'd have to – I don't really pay attention to the run game a ton. I kind of have my reads and my checks on that. But, Miles, I think every single year it's kind of like, oh, what about the run game? And then there's this game where we go into a big game and then all of a sudden he's – breaking huge runs. I think that first drive was big for us, just come into a hostile environment and start fast.
Have you ever heard a quarterback say something like that?
No, but I'm not bothered by it at all. And the reason I'm not bothered by it is because I think he's saying that, hey, for all the time that people spend worrying about the run game, Miles has big games and we've come to rely on it and understand
it. But people don't spend time worrying about the run game. They spend time saying, run the ball, stop letting Jake throw it.
Well, to be fair, that was the question. It was in the question of Pac-12 Network. They were asking him about the slow start of the run game this year and how it's happened to them in the past.
And I think it also wanted to be, he didn't want to be criticizing an element of the offense he's not really involved in.
Okay.
And I think that he was trying to do, there was more giving up.
I would agree. And I think, Salk, I think the one thing that stands out is I don't really know anything about the run game. You're like, what? You're the starting quarterback. You're a four-year starter.
I think you'd have to, I don't really pay attention to the run game.
Right. Like, I don't really pay attention to it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you know what's
going
on. You're
the quarterback.
You know what's going on, right? And I think also, but in the course of a game as a quarterback, when you're handing the ball off, you don't know what's going on. You're faking a play, you don't really see what's going on. So to be able to comment on it, it's just kind of like as a fan in a way. I think it went well, but you don't really know until you watch the tape. So I'm not too bothered by it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jake. I think that was him saying, that's not something I should answer for. That's not something I should either take credit or assign blame for.
I didn't hear it that way, but I'm certainly willing to allow for the fact that that's what happened.
Here's the thing about the quarterback question. They're not going to be better this year with Jake Hayner.
No.
Jake Hayner is not going to come in and all of a sudden this team that, oh, might get to the college playoffs, and they definitely will if Hayner's. This is not a situation where you've got a potential upgrade on the bench.
But it is a situation where you haven't seen improvement over the last couple of years, and that's really frustrating. And I think for those people that want to see Hayner, I think it's more a pound of flesh that they want. Sports fans all feel like they're owed a pound of flesh in some way. Russell Wilson's not playing well. I want my pound of flesh. This offensive line, I want my pound of flesh. Jake front. I want a pound of flesh.
Right.
Baseball fans are no different. Bench him, fire him, hate him, punch him. Like a baseball fan, he struck out, get rid of him. Like you hear a lot of people who just want a pound of flesh, which is understandable. You're watching a game, you've invested your time and or money into watching it, and when the guys don't play well, you feel as a fan as if you're owed something better. I think that's where,
here's the thing.
Whether you are or not, that's where a lot of fans are.
I don't care if that's where fans are. They shouldn't be that way. You're not owed anything from a college kid. A college kid doesn't owe you a better performance. And if you think he owes it, you're missing the best part about college football, which is that you should be hoping that Jake Browning turns that corner. And when he gets to those points that you're talking about, Jake, where he can make a decision, he has had, in the biggest moments, he's come up short. And there's nobody that's more disappointed about that than him. And I don't want him benched because he hasn't gotten the team over the hump.
And the reality is he won't. You know, that's the thing, is we can say all we want here and we can take a pound of flesh and we can do all those things. But Chris Peterson is not going to bench Jake Browning unless something catastrophic happens. And that's the reality of this thing. And Salk's giving an interesting face. But
no, I was giving the interesting face to Matt Johnson, who's going to be here in a moment. He's wearing a sweater vest, a cardigan of some sorts. I was excited about
there
it.
There you
that's
go.
Jack Z.
There you go.
He looks like Jack Z. Yeah, that's all.
That's awesome. The thing is that Peterson's not going to bench him unless something horrible happens, because he is the guy that can orchestrate this offense the way that they want to. He can do the things that Bush Hamden wants him to do in terms of, you know, making check with me calls and doing these NFL level type of things at the line of scrimmage. It's actually pretty awesome to watch, but he has to eliminate these big mistakes. If he eliminates the big mistakes, those two plays, it's a different ball game.
But how do you eliminate it without the threat of somebody else potential, without the competition? I mean, that's the Pete Carroll method, right?
Certainly that's there. Here's the thing, is if you're going to have Jake Haener starting a game, if he's going to start playing significant time, it means that this team will have lost two, maybe three games more, and you're looking at a Holiday Bowl berth rather than,
for sure.
Hey, right now, you're still consideration for the college football playoff. If you went out, you still got a shot at the Rose Bowl, and those are the hopes, and that's why you hope that Browning gets better, not that Haener's going to come in, because you're not getting to the Rose Bowl if Jake Haener's starting.
That's where I want the fan base to go to. I want them to go to that. Let's see if we can get to that.
All right, just a reminder, we have the Pete Carroll Show video contest. It is up at 710sports.com/win. Watch the video, and you become eligible to win a pair of Seahawks tickets. You can also increase your chances to win by gaining more entries. You all only have to do things like visiting our Facebook or Twitter pages, our Instagram page for the station, or downloading our app. And then listen tomorrow at 8:15. We'll pick a random name out of everyone who's entered the contest and announce them as the winner. You'll then have 5 minutes to call in and redeem your prize. By the way, we were looking at the odds on this. They're pretty good. Like, if you want to win Seahawks tickets, if you want tickets to a game and you don't want to pay for them, there's like some really good odds. And the fact that you can increase those odds gives you like a really good chance. And while you're at 710sports.com, go and you'll be able to see all of the work that Jake is going to be doing with us this year. Jake Heaps, part of the family here at 710sports.com. Matt Johnson is here. Our answer the question. Do you know Matt Johnson? Do you
I
know
don't.
What you're in for with Matt Johnson?
No.
Answer the question, jerk insider and all around crazy man. He will join us for our favorite segment, but we're going to need questions. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Your questions, our answers next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
Oh, we got a crowded house for Answer the Question, Jerk today. Danny O'Neill's been in all morning for Brock. Jake Heaps has been in for the last 45 minutes breaking down film. You can see a lot more of those breakdowns. They're coming at 710sports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at JTHeaps9. And now we add Answer the Question, Jerk insider Matt Johnson
to
the mix.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you
here. I'm so nervous. I haven't been here in a long, long while.
Well, you look great. You feel great.
Thanks.
You sound great.
This is my math teacher look.
It is very math. Yeah. Well,
it's been a while, and I knew Jake was here. It's the first impressions are everything.
Argyle sweater vest.
Did you have a memorable math teacher? I had one. Freshman year, Mr. Heydrich at Mazama High School. And he would say things. He had awful jokes.
Huh.
Like, what did Snow White say when she got kissed? Hexagon.
Oh, jeez.
What do you call an empty parrot gauge? Polygon.
Oh, my God.
Don't ever use the number 288. It's too gross.
Jake, when you sit and tell jokes and you're the only one laughing, the guy that's telling the joke, that's a bad sign.
It is.
I don't know how far you're going with this radio gig, but that's a bad sign.
I had a 10th grade math teacher named Mr. Fiddler. And whenever he would write on the board, he was really tall and thin. His entire butt would like wiggle around whenever he was writing on the blackboard. And you couldn't not look at it. It's bizarre.
It's kind of like how Wyman would talk about when he played for the Broncos. He would watch Shanahan because every time the ball was snapped, Shanahan would clench his butt cheeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Every time the ball was snapped, like,
yeah. Next question.
Pucker. So far, let's see. Jerick's over-under on 3.5 questions answered during Answer the Question, Jerick, with Matt Johnson in. History favors the under. Sponsored by Bud Light.
I got 500 on the under.
Well, we're at one. Let's see where we get to.
Rats. Danny, do you have the nicest printing, penmanship there is? I mean, I don't know.
It's nice.
I generally think it's like a scroll. Really?
No, it's like Archimedes or something. Like, everything in that book seems like there's a great...
Don't close the book just because I said it.
A great math problem has been solved.
I'll leave it open.
Like Goodwill Hunting on the window.
I'm trying to come up with my survival draft.
How about these apples?
Next question.
Witten pulled that one out the other night, and I was like, oh, that's a goodie.
Hey, screwed it up, too.
Yeah.
Right?
How about these apples?
Painfully
How do you screw that up?
Well, he didn't say them. But the quote is right.
You like apples?
How do you like apples?
How do you like apples?
And how do you like those ones? Oh, no!
And then Booger's sitting there. And, I'm up here suspended high above the field.
I like Booger. I think Booger's good.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't like Booger?
No.
Oh, I like Booger's good.
I think there's just a power struggle between who is actually... The color guy.
It's Booger. It should be Joe Tessitore and Booger. That'd be a good broadcast.
I like to think that they've got little Jeopardy buzzers, and Witten is just constantly getting beat out. No! Come on!
That's right. It's very awkward. It is a very awkward deal there.
Yeah. It is. Woo,
how do they know when to talk?
Jerks.
Well, we're finding out. They don't.
Jake, 91 Hurricanes or 91 Huskies?
That's tough right there.
Yeah, you're being put on the spot.
I am. I'd probably
you're a Miami
say,
guy.
I did attend there for 6 months.
How'd that go for you?
It was
good.
Did
you like it?
Well, I liked it, except for the spot that I didn't play. But, you know, other than that, it was great. You know, it was pretty cool. I'd definitely say 91 Huskies.
91 Huskies were dominant.
They were awesome.
Kyle, what do you think?
I'm having a stretch moment. I'm just laughing too hard. I think 91 Hurricanes. There's very few people outside the 206 area code that recognize the Huskies as the champions.
You're
impartial.
Because
you'd have to,
you're
therefore, subscribe to the USA Today poll, which absolutely nobody does.
I know what they're laughing at. See, this is what life as a smart aleck is no good. You guys are thinking I was being a smart aleck to Jake knowing he didn't get a lot of time. I meant, like, Miami, he's from up here. That's honest to God what I meant. And you're thinking, hey, how were those six snaps you took? That's not what that is not what I was on. Lydia doesn't believe me at all.
No. Move on.
All right.
Actually, Lydia's the most likely person to believe you because she doesn't do things like that.
I am on your side.
She'll take you at face value.
Appreciate it.
Jerks, is it ever too hot out for soup?
Yes.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It gets above 70 degrees. You can't eat soup.
Well, you could have cold.
Unless you have watermelon soup.
There's a lot of hot weather places where they actually eat soup and drink hot beverages in the heat because it's supposed to help cool you down, actually.
Lydia, you know how it's 90 degrees here about 5 days a year? You're going to go have a big boiling Campbell's tomato soup?
Soup's great food all the time.
Lydia's cold on those days, though.
You have to understand, Lydia. Ever.
Lydia has her heat on during those 90 degrees.
That's true.
Next question.
Jerks, what is the most disgusting fruit?
The mangosteen.
What's the mangosteen?
I don't know. Dragon fruit? I don't know. We had it one time. I left it underneath we weren't married at the time. We were just dating, but it was gross, so I stashed it underneath her car seat. Hmm. Surprisingly enough, we were still dating 3 months later, and she found it and was like, did you put this here?
Found it 3 months later?
Yeah, because it was gross. Fruit flies.
Isn't Howdy the vegetable fruit
socios
guy? No. Plantains don't do it for me. I don't care what they do in these.
Oh, you can fry them. They're delicious.
Yeah, well,
the big banana?
Somehow it got screwed up when I ate them.
A durian is the worst fruit.
What's a durian?
It is just disgusting.
What is it?
You're right. Howdy's totally right. It's this spiky fruit that is served in Asia and it stinks. It smells like death.
High heavens.
Yeah, it smells like death.
Yes.
It smells like the Graz's feet.
Oh, dude.
Oh.
Why is that necessary?
I'm trying to use colorful language.
That we could all, understand.
There's a whole video here. People trying durian, the smelliest fruit in the world.
Oh. That's gross.
There are signs in some subways like where it's like, absolutely no durian. You can't eat durian in public.
When I was working at the Pike Place Market, we were marking that stuff up like crazy. Just because if you needed to buy it that bad, you could afford it.
Right.
Wow. That's Howdy being Howdy right there. My day's
that was
complete.
A good call, Howdy.
Yeah, that's my
day. That was a good call. Yeah.
Matt, what are you doing here today? Why are you here? What's going on?
No idea. I have no idea.
We have some soccer
early.
on tonight.
Yeah, 8 p.m. Jake's going. I got Jake, 4 tickets for him and his family.
Awesome.
Joe TV. He's going.
Hey.
Joe TV, 8 p.m., Philadelphia Union. See if we can win 10 straight.
Big game?
Crazy.
How big a game?
Yeah, on a roll. If the Sounders win, move into third place. Just last.
How do they do this every year?
Brian Schmetzer.
He doesn't care about the beginning of the year? What's the deal? Why do they go on these amazing
Tons
runs?
Tons of injuries early on.
Is that
giving
it?
Up goals. Now you're healthy. Now you're playing great defense. Can't break them down. They know the win. The chemistry's there. Yeah, it was fun Saturday.
Kid from Mercer Island still hurt, though, right?
Yes. Knee.
They got a Peruvian, though.
Bless you. Jordan Morris.
That's
about as far as we're going to get.
That's my guy.
No, man, the Peruvian's great. The Peruvian World Cup star that you guys signed.
That's right. Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able
Nicholas
to get that.
That's all right. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
I guess that's to answer your question. That's why I'm
Matt's here.
Just to say Raul Ruiz Diaz, 8 o'clock, Joe TV.
Awesome. Thank you, Matt.
Let me know. It's Northwest will call, Jake. Northwest will call.
Okay, I'm there.
Their coach gets
I'll be really upset if they're not there.
Can you make the playoffs in February? And everybody's like, no. Can you make the playoffs in March? No.
Did the people start questioning, like, well, how long is this season? What month can we make the playoffs in?
We can do it in October. Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here. Matt, thank you for coming in.
Hey,
Danny,
thanks for
thank
me.
You for the whole morning. Jake,
I promise I wasn't being a smartass.
Thank you for
honest.
Braving the traffic to get up here at 9 o'clock. Sheesh, Brock's going to be back here tomorrow, I hope.
Boring!
7 o'clock. Until then, the hay is in the barn. See everybody.
Game day Ross today. Now, how do you like them apples?